If you're a new listener of the Doug and Wolf Show, here's some rookie hazing for you.
I'm going to go for the duct tape.
That's the threat.
Don't make me break out the duct tape.
Doug Franz, four-time Pro Bowler and former Cards fullback Ron Wolfley. Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Metallica Monday is always a good thing.
Yes. Agreed.
Not ready to completely say bust, but I don't mock you at all if you do, as a fan, when it comes to the draft pick of Robert Kendiche. Because he hasn't done anything in 2 years. But this is the year that a lot of people have been talking about him like crazy for what he's done the first 2 weeks of camp. And when I say everybody, I don't just mean broadcasters. I don't mean people like us, talk show hosts. I mean players on the defense, offensive linemen that are blocking him in practice. You know, people with the Arizona Cardinals are talking an awful lot about him, and I think that's the most important thing. So there's a lot of eyes on Robert Kendiche for this to be the year. So I ask question number one, with that as the setup, was preseason game number one indicative of what we're hoping to see from Robert Kendiche? Did we see anything good from Robert Kendiche? What did we see from Robert Kendiche?
Yeah, let me just say this right here, right? Robert Kendiche, of course, he got a number of reps here, and I went back and I looked at it based on Ian's end. He did get a pressure. He got a quarterback pressure, right? That was good to see him actually get some pressure, got a hit on the quarterback. He got some penetration from time to time, got cut blocked from the backside, something that I thought was actually an illegal block on one running play where he would have made the play. But, you know, once again, this is the kind of thing that's going to happen out there. But I thought he got some penetration on plays and disrupted them. I thought that was a good sign. He did get that pressure, as I said. And I would have given him pluses. Now, I gave him two minuses in all the plays that he was out there. But to me, again, I would say that it's a good first step for Robert Kendiche, right? He's had an excellent training camp so far. He's got to carry it over into preseason games and then into regular season games from that point forward. But good start, I would say.
So tell me if this is fair, because this is what I thought. He was okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say the same thing. He was okay.
Yeah. I mean, he was not worth the, and I'm not going to say hype as if it was unfair, because you ask somebody a question and they answer, yeah, I'm impressed with Robert Kendiche, and that's what everyone's saying. But he didn't play as well to match the way people have been talking about his first 2 weeks of camp. He wasn't that as disruptive as you would have hoped, but he wasn't a liability. He wasn't offsides all the time. You didn't walk away questioning his effort or wondering if he's ever going to get it. So there's plenty of reasons to be positive, but there are plenty of reasons not to jump up and down and think that he has just completely corrected the last 2 years.
Well, once again, I think he got 15 snaps somewhere in there, based on names. I think he got 15 snaps, and he produced a pressure, and he had two penetrations, two pluses that I gave him definitely that disrupted the play. It's not bad. That's not bad right there. It's not great, but it certainly is not bad. And again, he's going to have to do it in a regular season game. This year for Robert Kendiche, ladies and gentlemen, as we all know, this is it. You can honestly say right now, and this is something that I know the Deech knows, but you could honestly say this right now. If not now, when? If not now, Robert Kendiche, when? Right? I mean, this is your third year. This is when a rookie has got a flash. If, in fact, you want to go ahead and talk about the possibility of a rookie and whether or not you're going to extend him that fifth year, the option that the team has, you got a flash by year three on that rookie contract when you're a first-round pick. It's got to be year three, not year four. Oh, your contract years rolled around. Now, all of a sudden, you're playing like an animal. Why is that? You don't want it to be year four. You don't. You want it to be year three. Show me you've got what it takes. 3 years in the league. You've got experience. This isn't your first rodeo. Your talent should be taking over in year three. Your maturity should be taking over in year three. Show me what you got. You got a new messenger. You got a new message. You got a new defense. You have a new team, a new scheme. Everything's new. Show me what you got. And if you don't, that third year, You know what? Honestly, that could be a dicey proposition. You're probably going to be gone after four.
This is Steve Wilks and what he was looking at, both for, not really for Kamdichie, but for the defense in general.
Again, we scored on defense, and that's one of the things we pride ourselves on. So that's always encouraging. You know, those guys did a good job in the red zone. But we just got to do a much better job of tackling. Point of emphasis there. I think a couple of times we had an opportunity to get off on third down, and we missed the tackle. So we need to improve there.
It's hard to rip them for third down when you're dealing with how little you do any scheming whatsoever for your entire opponent. But to not have any third down conversions offensively and the amount of times you stuffed them on first and second down defensively just to have them convert on you, granted it might be third team versus third team, but just from a statistical standpoint, third down was horrific.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I just thought the starters overall, Douglas, I think you're right about the third down thing, but the starters look good. This is the thing that is getting lost, I think. The starters look good. In fact, you couldn't start any better. You really couldn't when you stop and think about it, right? I mean, you kick the ball off, you get a three and out. Right away, your defense produces a three and out. Should have been a pick.
Yeah, we're now allowed to return punts for yardage, which is new this year.
You punt the ball, beautifully executed with the perpendicular blocks. Beautiful wall return that was set up to the right. Christian Kirk should have housed it, and he knows he should have housed it. And instead of that, he loused it, as my old coach would say, right onto his face, right? He just stumbled in the open field. But you have to expect that's not going to happen going forward for Christian Kirk.
I'm going to judge by everything that you have to say about the starters is that you forgot we have D-backs daily.
As a matter of fact, I did.
I see.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf react to yesterday's D-backs game. D-backs Daily, brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer, an official partner of your Arizona Diamondbacks.
Diamondbacks, get a couple guys on, get a couple outs in the first inning. Looks like they're not going to get anything.
Here comes the 0-2 to Descalso. Swing and a drive to center field. Hamilton going back, still going back. He's at the wall. It is gone! Three-run homer to straightaway center for Daniel Descalso, and the D-backs jump in front, 3-0.
That was nice until this epidemic is continuing with the Arizona Diamondbacks. I think, Torrey, you need to mix in a little PFP.
The one-out payoff pitch, swinging a grounder to first. Goldschmidt has it to second for one. The relay to Godley, and it's off his glove and gets away. Runner's going to try and come home from third, and he will score as it gets out of play.
Makes it 3-1. And the biggest question is the official score for the Reds. Three innings it took him before he realized, wow, that's an error on Godley. He originally gave it to Ahmed. What do you want Ahmed to do on that, buddy?
Zach Godley needs to get in Zach Greinke's back pocket.
Yes. But luckily, everything was better, even though it was 3-2 and it looked like the D-backs might fiddle fart this away. That's what my grandma used to say.
Just trying to get a little movement on the bases. Coming inside, and he swings and hits one in the air to right. Pretty well struck. Williams going back. He's to the fence. He looks up. It is gone.
Goldie with a two-run homer. Escobar has never homered as a Diamondback until the last 2 days, and now he's got two in a row.
Pitch. Drives it deep in the air to right field. Way back, and that ball is gone into the first row.
Gotta love Great American Ballpark.
Oh, yeah. And the Diamondbacks weren't done. They finish off the ninth inning by scoring four in the ninth. They win it 9-2. They take on the Rangers tonight. That game will be on ESPN 620 AM. You can hear it there at 5:05. Greinke against the old man, Bartolo Colon.
You've been listening to D-backs Daily on the Doug and Wolf Show. Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer, an official partner of your Arizona Diamondbacks.
Well, in case you forgot, it's coming up on 7:15. And every Monday morning following a Cardinals game over the weekend at 7:15, we put you on parade. It's time for you to give us
602-260-9870.
The biggest question you've got about the Arizona Cardinals after watching preseason game one. Your call's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bulls on parade.
Who would it now?
602-260-9870.
9870.
Listeners only meeting. There are two reasons why you have a meeting. Well, really three. One, you're a boss and you want to waste people's time, so you have a meeting. Number two, you have a meeting if you're a left fielder and you've been hot with the bat and you think now suddenly you're the savior of the world and you should take the center fielder's ball when the out is going to be recorded at third and you cut him off, which was terrible, so then you have a big meeting. And number three, because the Cardinals had a game this weekend. So 602-260-9870 is the phone number for you to give us your one big Cardinals question you've got after seeing game number one. Let's start with Nick in Phoenix. Nick, good morning. You're on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Nick, tell
me,
what's your big question? Good.
So, my question was, Mike Lennon, obviously, he didn't look confident. He looked like garbage. I know he was playing against the second team. He's playing with the second team O-line, and that's my question is, if the first team O-line can't stay healthy throughout the season and the second team O-line is, you know, pretty much going to be their replacements through the season, what are we going to do and how is Bradford going to stay healthy if that second O-line cannot hold up?
Nick, that is a great point. It really is right there. Right?
Thanks, Nick.
Depth
good
is
question.
Something. And I heard Roy Green talking about this on my way home, as a matter of fact, in the postgame show, and I agreed with him 100%. You know what? Honestly, the depth of the offensive line, the big negative to me of this game was how the second offensive line played. They were bad. I mean, really, really bad. If I'm talking about the snaps from Daniel Mundner, of course, to Josh Rosen, and not only that, but also to Mike Lennon as well. And after that, the protection was just brutal, the pressure on those quarterbacks. So it's hard to evaluate.
That's the thing. You have with Mike Lennon, I think you have to look at what, number one, what's he doing in the quarterback room? I mean, you hate to say it, but that's the most important question for Mike Lennon, is what are you doing in the quarterback room? Because that's kind of why he's here. Then number two, it's, okay, what about on the field? And as long as he knows the offense very well, then you're completely fine. As long as he knows the offense, you're fine. Now, if you want to go further and say, okay, what's going to happen between Rosen and Glennon? I've always had this theory, and I've talked to some coaches about it, and they think it's a very good one. I've talked to other coaches, and they think it's dumb. So you get to decide as a listener which side of the fence you're on. There's a difference between being the backup quarterback and being the second string quarterback. And the reason why I say something that sounds so not obvious is you normally think, if I have to get my second string guy ready, I'll start the rookie, but I don't want to put the rookie into the middle of the game. So if Sam Bradford gets hurt, maybe you immediately run out Mike Glennon because he's the veteran. He knows the game plan better. You come in and handle it. And then in the next week, we'll spend all of next week getting the rookie ready. So I don't know if Steve Wilks abides by that theory or not.
Mm-hmm. I would say this right here. I think it depends on the individual that you're talking about, like Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
Is he mentally capable of understanding the offense? Is he mentally capable of going out there and saying, you know what, yeah, I know I didn't practice. I didn't get a ton of snaps this week out here, and I know that we were game planning once you get into the regular season. But you know what, I think I got control mm-hmm. of this. If, in fact, you think he does, I think you're going to go with whoever your backup truly is. But once again, it's a dicey proposition, and it's a valid point.
Let's go to Kyle and Flagstaff. Kyle, good morning. You're on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Kyle, what's your main Cardinals question?
Good morning, guys, and thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
So my biggest question is, and I don't know about you guys, but I got super excited when Patrick Peterson was coming off the edge. I think there was a whistle blown on that call.
Yes.
But I want to get your guys' thoughts on his new role in that defense.
Well, boy, that's a good question, Kyle. I admit, well, first of all, here's the phone
602
number. 602. I always forget it.
260-9870.
I honestly, I hate it. I think he can do it. I think it's, I understand it. Boy, you want to talk about a complete shock and surprise to a quarterback. I'm actually wondering, are they just doing this in the preseason? Are they just doing this in the preseason to show, hey, look what we might do. You better be worried about this, because here's my question. Which is better at shutting down a number one receiver?
Mm-hmm.
Having Patrick Peterson on him
sure.
or having Patrick Peterson leave him? Now, maybe against the Falcons, you never do it. But if you go up against a team where every receiver's good, but there's no Julio Joneses out there. Maybe that's when he'll do it. And maybe it's only once a month that he's going to do it.
Sure.
Just to keep you a little honest. I don't think there's anything and wrong with that. But as long as it's very tempered, I accept
it. And that may be the case, Douglas. But I will tell you this, Basinonians, right now. The Arizona Cardinals are going to play way more zone than what we've seen in the past. Way more zone. You're not gonna. I don't think you're gonna have Patrick Peterson just blanketing a receiver anymore and traveling with a receiver. They're gonna play way more zone, and if you're gonna do that, why not mix in some corner blitz as a surprise, especially with Patrick Peterson, a complete whoa moment out there. Do what is unpredictable. I got no problem with it. Again, it's not like it's gonna be an every time thing. It's not like they're gonna do it every game. They're not gonna do it. But to me, why not mix that in as a surprise, especially if you're playing zone with Patrick Peterson? And they're going to play more zone, three deep and quarters. Interesting.
Now, something just happened here. I don't remember whether the number was two or three, but we only took two or three phone calls for the listeners only meeting today. And Maloney is the new producer of the Doug and Wolf Show. And I'm assuming that you are basically a hard screener. Like nobody passed the Maloney test, which is why we only took two or three calls. Am I right? Did you, like, drop the hammer on people?
Well, if you don't have a question, then why are you coming on?
Wow. Look at Maloney. So now...
They didn't have a question. Well, did they have a comment? Is that what you're saying,
Maloney? She set the topic as, what is your number one question coming out of preseason game number one? And so I just
didn't want statements.
I'm not blowing Maloney up here. I'm looking at everybody that's a listener saying, we do this, you're used to this for 2 years, every Monday at 7:15, it's a listeners only meeting, and now it's not just fly by night, get on. You've got to impress Maloney, right?
Yeah. Have to come in with the good questions, otherwise you're not coming on.
Wow,
that's impressive.
Yes.
So I just want you to know, as a listener, the bar has just been raised to now get on the Doug and Wolf Show. So for those of you that hate us when we take calls, we get some tweets people hate. I like it in little doses. I don't like to listen to talk shows anymore where you have callers for four straight hours, but I like it in little doses. And now Maloney's going to drop the hammer. So if you can't bring it, then you there's no more free passes anymore.
No.
That's kind of impressive. Coming up next from the Action Community Studios, did the O-line prove that they will be able to protect the quarterback? It's kind of a good question from Flagstaff that we had, so we might as well let it roll. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Strange thing to talk about, and that is the Cardinals' offensive line. Because at the beginning of the first quarter, it's hard to ask them to play much better. There were some things where Mason Cole ended up in the backfield a couple times getting pushed back. But not the end of the world because he made some other nice plays. And the other four guys looked pretty good. Andre Smith had a bad false start penalty. Why the referees were so atrocious to allow an entire play to happen, allow somebody to possibly get hurt, and then decide, oh, by the way, before the snap happened, there was a penalty. But that was bad. The officials were awful in this game, but it's preseason for everybody. But the O-line was great until the O-line wasn't. There's my big breakdown. Because as soon as they started putting subs in, oh my goodness, are there second team problems for the Arizona Cardinals.
And you know what? Before the game, that was one of the key questions. We had a chance to talk with Coach Wilkes, some of the other assistants, and one of the areas they cited, O-line depth. What do we have? We got to find out. And you know what? After Saturday night, I think we make one conclusion. The D-line depth looks pretty good. With Olsen Pierre and Rodney Gunter, yeah. I think was pretty disruptive. The O-line depth, not so much. Not yet. They need to pick it up, or Cardinals might be out on the open market looking for some experience.
No doubt about it, Bully. That was a little scary, as a matter of fact. It was kind of shocking to me to watch the Chargers dominate that second unit the way that they did. And it all started, of course, with Daniel Munger and the snaps and how bad the snaps were. And yet the porous protection that was given to Josh Rosen and for that matter, Mike Glennon, it was just bad all the way around. I didn't see any movement. They tried to run the ball, got stuffed at the point. Backside cutoff was horrible. There's just a lot of room for improvement on that second unit.
I mean, the pass pro on the edges just wasn't there. I mean, Will Holden and John Wetzel, they just did not have it. It's just and now the Chargers did leave in that first team D a little bit longer. Corey Legent, some of the other guys were in there. Brandon Mebane, but you got to be better.
Legent was in there long as he was.
You got to, because look, that's the whole point.
Strange.
That's the whole point of the depth. You have to be reliable if you're called upon to be first team O line. And we've seen all the injuries over the last 4 or 5 years on the Cardinals O-line. They got to be able to count on those guys.
Of course, going into it as well, everyone was looking at Mason Cole, and rightfully so, right? The rookie center out of Michigan and how he would hold up against Brandon Mebane. And going back and looking at it, this is something we were talking about, as a matter of fact, all week long leading up to this game. How would he do against Brandon Mebane? And it was interesting because there were 10 reps, of course, that I actually charted for Mason Cole. And the first four, very, very nice job. First four reps of his professional career against Brandon Mebane, I gave him four pluses, and then the next two plays, minuses, the next two pluses, and then he finished with two minuses. 10 plays overall, 6 pluses, 4 minuses. Now listen, I'm not in the huddle. I don't know if he made any mental errors. He could have had more minuses because he may have called protections incorrectly or blocking schemes incorrectly. He may have made mental errors. I don't know. I wasn't in the huddle. But I will tell you this. You need to be 80% or above. 80% or above is what most NFL players, or coaches, I should say, demand their players to be. 80% or more. Some, 85% pluses or more. To me, okay. Not great, but okay.
The one real scary thing I thought about the second team O-line, and we've seen Wetzel play well at times in his NFL career with the Cardinals, but it was hard to really see NFL talent the way they played. And I'm not trying to squash any of those guys. If any of you five are listening, you're better than me at playing in the offensive line. But I got to, just watching it as a wannabe a talent evaluator, I didn't even see NFL talent, let alone a second string offensive line. The one thing I love, though, that Wilkes did, I liked that I don't know if he consciously thought about it, but the fact that he kept Munyer out there, I kind of liked it because I wanted to see, how are you going to handle this, Josh? I mean, I wanted to know how Josh was going to handle that, because it was less about Munyer at that point, because it kept getting worse. I mean, there was no hope of it getting better in that game. Maybe it gets better this week. Maybe Munyer makes some corrections through some heavy coaching, but it was atrocious. I mean, it was bad for a high school. A high school coach would have pulled him from the game. I kind of like that they didn't, because I think it tested Josh. Like, okay, how are you going to handle this?
It did test him, and he hung in there.
Yeah.
I mean, he took some shots. He looked down the barrel a couple of times and delivered the ball. And remember, at UCLA, he was plagued by some real spotty offensive line play as well. He got banged around pretty good and got injured a couple of times during his 3-year career at UCLA.
But that starting offensive line, man, I'm telling you right now, even with Mason Cole as a center, I thought the offensive line was the star of the game.
David Johnson didn't get touched to the second level.
Now listen, the LA Chargers, Mason Oney, is number 31 in rushing yards per game last year. Number 31 in rushing yards per game allowed, number 32 in rushing yards per play allowed last year. But it sure beats the alternative. They went out there and they removed the ball downfield. They removed the line of scrimmage and pushed it downfield. I mean, the Chargers defense could not hold up, and Mason Cole was right in the middle of it. Those two runs by David Johnson, as a matter of fact, right? Mason Cole pluses, nice blocks. Excellent job by Mason Cole on those two runs right there. And what I also loved about it was the fact that it was the inside zone. The zone scheme was combined with a power scheme. They actually ran the power. Down blocks on the play side, kick it out with Derek Coleman, bring the guard around up on, and they ripped it for about 5 yards. And I was up there just freaking out, of course, wipe the mouth. It was a beautiful thing, a beautiful thing.
There's one other point, and listen, we live in a world where if you make a mistake, let's move on, and if somebody else makes a mistake, you want to talk about it. So this is coming from the guy who recorded a promotional announcement that said, listen to Doug and Wolf Monday morning as we talk about the San Diego Chargers game. Okay, so I So you have every,
I know where this is going.
San Diego.
Have every right to rip me for bringing that up. And I get that. But I'm looking at the Arizona Cardinals statistical analysis and box score from the from ESPN at ESPN.com. No. Do you want to know which passer for the Cardinals had the best game according to stats?
Charles Kanoff.
No, Chad Kanoff did.
Oh, Chad.
Yeah.
I see.
The question, though, is if you click on Chad Kanoff's name, you get the whole rundown of Chad Kanoff. The problem is you said his name correctly.
Yes.
It is Charles. I got to ask ESPN.
Well, I said Chad on the air.
Since it's just, oh, did you? I didn't know that. I didn't know. I was actually not throwing you under the bus.
No, I said Chad Kanoff on the air because his name is Chad, but he wants to go by Charles.
Okay.
It's all right. You need two hands to count how many times I called him the San Diego Chargers on the air. So.
Did you good?
Oh, did you really? Knock it off, Paulie.
Speaking of Kanoff, though, brutal. You did nail this one.
Charles Kanoff, the four-string rookie quarterback undrafted out of Princeton, and he's going to keep it and throw off the play action fake deep down the far seam, and it is caught. It is caught at the 20 and ridden down to the 15. Jalen Tolliver with a big grab, a pass from Kanoff that was right on the money.
Well, now, here's the scary thing about that. Number one, and it's not Paul's play-by-play, which was very good on that play, Paul. It was the fact that that was only the third catch.
He said on that play. Yeah.
There was a qualifier in there. There was a qualifier. I'm like Josh Rosen. I can't wait till game number two.
And that is this. That was the third catch by a receiver. Yeah. That was it. Yeah. They only had three catches by receivers in this game.
They wanted separation at the receiver position. They did not get separation. There's not enough to go on. And I mean, you look at what didn't happen at the receiver spot, and you wonder, I mean, where are they in that process of trying to figure out who stays and who goes?
Well, I will say this. Larry Fitzgerald caught a ball.
Oh, good.
A little pop route over the middle, right? Sure. That was good, Sam Bradford. Way to go.
He'll make the team.
And Ricky Seals-Jones, the same thing, right? Yeah. A little zone. Skink.
Yep, tight
end. A little pop right over the middle. I love that. Get the ball out of Sam Bradford's hand quickly. Only one of those actually counted, though.
No.
There was a penalty, I believe, on Fitz's, right?
Yeah.
By the way, if Kanoff keeps showing like that, are you hanging on to Glennon as your third-string quarterback?
Okay, when you say if, listen, if Glennon looks like he did in week one every single week of the preseason and Kanoff looks like this every single week of the preseason, all right, then let's talk about it. I just don't think that's going to happen. I just don't think there's any way that happens. But there's no doubt Glennon didn't look very good, but you have to ask the question, who would behind that other offensive line as much as they struggled?
By the way, if I was really on top of it, I would have said Princeton to Arkansas Monticello on that play, because those were the two colleges that were involved on that pass play.
I see.
A little tough to pull that out.
Yeah.
Coming up next, there was a team that got a win on Sunday. Did it erase the taste in their mouth from Friday and Saturday? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We want to help you with your fantasy football team. So coming up in about 15 minutes, we will talk to Matt Bowen, former player with the Washington Redskins. Matt and I will sing for you if you want. And at the same time, talk fantasy and talk football in general. Mm. So that's coming up at 8 o'clock. And then maybe, I don't know how people feel about him going into this year, but maybe again a top five choice in fantasy football. We'll be joining Bickley and Murata this morning at 11:45. David Johnson is going to be on. Today is the last day of Cardinals practice that is completely open to fans for training camp.
Yeah.
So if you want to go out to practice, you can. And today's the last day where fans are available, or that the team is available for you to go watch practice. So David Johnson and Steve Wilks before practice on Bickley and Murata. Justin Pugh and Eastside's own Christian Kirk is on Birds and Gambo after practice. So that's what's coming up for you to have an opportunity to get all the Cardinals you can handle.
Yeah, just going to say, David Johnson almost housed both of those runs that he got. I think he was a little rusty. It's going to be interesting to see what David Johnson says about that in particular.
So that's a quick rundown on Cardinals. If you just tuned in, we've been talking Cardinals almost every second today because that's game one is on everybody's mind, plus the officiating. But there was also a little shindig that happened in Cincinnati.
You don't want to get swept. You want to win series. They won the first two, so you don't want to leave here 0-3. So it was a game that we really wanted to win. I don't know if it was a must win, but it kind of felt like we needed to play with a little sense of urgency today, and we did.
It was kind of interesting. The Diamondbacks played 18 innings of baseball in Cincinnati, and then in the 19th inning, they matched their run total for the first 18.
And here comes the 0-2 to Descalso. Swinging a drive to center field. Hamilton going back, still going back. He's at the wall. It is gone!
They played so atrocious in the first two games against a god-awful baseball team, but had a big players-only meeting after the Saturday night game in which they did a good job keeping their mouth shut. Nobody wanted to talk about what happened at the players-only meeting. And then Sunday, they came out and had a 3-0 lead right from the start, kind of got a little squirrely there at 3-2, and then exploded at the end of the game in the ninth inning to put it away.
You know, for me, Douglas, the thing that I remember of this series was Archie Bradley, of course, right? It was Saturday night. I mean, just the fact that they had the lead, had the opportunity to win the series, what would have been a series win based on what they did on Sunday, but to see Archie Bradley go out there on Saturday night and with a lead give it up to the extreme that he did give it up, it was very disconcerting. That's all I could say. That right there is the one thing that stands out from that series overall, right? If Archie Bradley goes out there and does his job, who knows? Are they going to have a players-only meeting? I don't think so.
You know, I don't know. And it's not very often you have players-only meetings after, you know, wins. It doesn't happen very often. And it's a good question by you. But there was one play in that Saturday night game. And I believe this one play is why they had a players-only meeting. And it's an interesting concept because I think if you're looking at who has been the most important Diamondback all year, mm-hmm. from game one until now, I'd probably argue Greinke with how well he's pitched. But I could easily understand if somebody says, no, since the starting pitcher's once every 4 or 5 days, I don't want them in that category. Peralta would be the other choice. So David Peralta has been that important, and he's arguably the player of the month in the National League. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's had a fantastic August. I say that, but there was a play where he went so far completely over his skis. I think the meeting had a little bit to do with check yourself, and I mean for everybody. But I think Peralta was the one that was probably a topic. You got a runner on second, and he's going to try to tag up and go to third on a fly ball. The center fielder not only 99% of the time runs the entire outfield, there's only one play where a center fielder should probably back off a little bit, and that is a ball to right center field on a tag up at third in which the right fielder is coming towards the ball and his momentum's taking him to third base. But it's still you're the center fielder. I mean, the center fielder runs the outfield. For a left fielder, on a ball that is hit in which there's a play at third, to cut across the center fielder, throw across his body to try to get him out, and Peralta has a very weak arm for a left fielder. For him to do that, and the way he just obnoxiously was waving Peralta, or excuse me, Pollock off the ball, that was such an atrocious mental error that I'm watching that, and Pollock held it together. You could see Pollock was steaming after the play, but Pollock didn't want to show anybody up on the field. I was watching that, and I had the feeling, what is that? And I hate to say it, because who doesn't love David Peralta?
He's without done David, this, though, yes, a couple times in the past.
Exactly. Without Peralta's energy, you don't have a good team here. So I want to say this very right. complimentary. But that was such an atrocious play. I kind of had the feeling it was time to talk, that it was kind of a check-yourself play.
Yeah, right.
You're having a great year. We need you. There's never a time that that's okay. Ever.
Let me just say this. Maybe they don't have a players-only meeting, right? But maybe the fact that it was David Peralta, one of their best players. Again, we just said, you could say he's the MVP for this team so far this year.
Very David good Peralta. Argument, yes.
You could definitely say that, right? And yet, one of your best players, one of your best hustle guys, is out there making a mental mistake, a critical mental mistake. So, you know, honestly, yeah, I can understand that. When a guy does that, has got that kind of elevation, that kind of profile in the clubhouse or the locker room, and he does that and makes a glaring mental error like that, yeah, I could understand why you might sit down. Even in the game of baseball, yep. Listen, in the game of football, you talk about everything. You talk about everything. You can't wait to have a players-only meeting. You can't wait for that. Right? I mean, you're going to talk and vet everything that happens. In baseball, I'm told it's different.
I also believe if you lose two games of a series against one of the worst teams baseball can offer. I think there was a clear assembly of guys to say, okay, we were happy with our uniforms in the last two games. We came here to Cincinnati knowing that we've been through, you know, hell and high water to get here, and we've got the most vicious September schedule upcoming. I think they came in thinking we've got a break. And keep in mind the Reds, 2-7 on the road trip.
Mm-hmm.
So the Reds won the same amount of games against the Diamondbacks in a three-game series that they did in the previous nine on the road. So I think the Diamondbacks came in, and you never, there's nobody that comes into a series and says, boy, this is going to be easy.
Exactly.
But you mentally check out thinking, you know, it's something's going to happen here, good. Somebody will make a play, we'll be fine. All the mental errors that happened in the series clearly showed there was not the urgency, there was not the focus going into this series.
Well, the other thing I will say is this as well. They had the lead that Saturday night. I'll go back to Saturday night's game. That was the still point game for me. The fact that they actually had the lead, 3-2, bottom of the eighth, Archie Bradley on the hill. You know what? You're thinking, we got this. We got this. We got this one right here. And then Archie Bradley just got blown up. I mean, blown up like we haven't seen Archie Bradley get blown up in a long time. So, again, that to me was so bothersome. That's what I remember. That and the fact they actually scored more runs in the ninth inning yesterday than they did in the two games combined.
Yes.
And it was good to see it. At least they responded.
Yes. Now, what are you going to do post-meeting? This is the mark of demarcation.
Here it is.
The line of demarcation.
That's exactly right, Douglas.
Okay, what's going to happen next?
Who waived Joe Boo?
You got the Rangers for two games. You got the Padres for four games. The Dodgers completely opened the door with the Rockies winning every game of the weekend with the only loss coming on Thursday in their four-game series. So the Diamondbacks right now are the number three seed. They're a game up on the L.A. Dodgers. But they're not a wild card team right now. The only way in is to win the division, but they're only a game out of the wild card. So every game is vitally important. You can hear it today. 5:05 is first pitch, and it'll be thrown by Bartolo Colon with Zach Greinke on the hill, two games in Texas. Coming up next from the Auction Community Studios, it's time for us to help you with your fantasy team, and we've got the guy to do it, Matt Bowen from ESPN. And we'll ask him about the Cardinals, too. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Astro Boudica, take fear from bats.